a particular sort of terrorist against our own country and people. So if you're interested in sort of learning more about what happens to journalists, the piece is called A Strange Kind of Freedom. And he goes around the country talking to a bunch of us who like happen to give a more critical perspective on what is going on and why it may not be a great idea for Israel, tiny little Israel, to be the number one recipient of U.S. Military foreign aid. They're definitely up there, and they're a tiny little country. Beautiful. Listen, we've got to get out of here. Very quickly, a website?
Yeah, irmep.org. Check us out.
Thank you. We're out of here.
Hello out there, this is Jello Biafra. If you're tired of the OCA, Walt Disney, Westinghouse, General Electric, and police departments telling you what you should listen to, stay tuned in to KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio, 90.7 on your FM dial, unless your FM was made in America.
Tune in the fourth Monday of each month at 11:30 a.m. to Voices for the Animals.
We discuss the latest news and trends in the animal world
and the role of activism surrounding the issues of animal rights.
That's Voices for the Animals at 11:30 a.m. on the fourth Monday of each month on KBOO.
Happy New Year. May it be a good year, a truly good year, one of health and joy, peace and justice, and of course, safe, fun, and enjoyable rides. Welcome to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon on 90.7 FM and streaming live on KBOO.FM. All our shows are archived at www.bikeshow.portlandtransport.com, thanks to Chris Smith and Josh Hetrick. My name is Alon Robb. Co-host Nedra Deadweiler will return next month. We are glad that you are with us today. In the first half of the show, our guest will be Hamza Abderrahim of Tunisia's bicycle organization, Velouzione Tunisia. The challenges Hamza and his organization face are great, and we are happy to have him here today and share his experiences, knowledge, and hopes. Today's show is the first of the new year, a time for new beginnings, but in the second half of the show, we will go back in time to October 2001 and broadcast the Bike Show's first episode, hosted by Sarah Stout and Aileen Crotty, who are still an important part of Portland's bicycle community, both doing much good work for a sustainable world. It is always good to remember where we came from or cycle on, so in the second half of the show, a blast from the past.
الشمس والريح والسحاب نكتب اسمك بالدم في ديا ونرجع لك ديما 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 مهما زرعولي الشوف ثنية مهما الأيام حبت ربية ونرجع لك ديما 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 ونسكي زرعك بدموع عينيا مهما خنتيني انت عزيز عليا نحلف بإيد الفلاحة اللي تولدت في الشوك والتراب ولدت الخبز بجراحة غلبت هالدهر الكذاب نحلف بليالي الكناسة خدام الأحزام والحطاب بلادي المنجم والخماسة لا على حبك مرتوب لا من صعبك عليا نكتب اسمك بالدم في ديا ونرجع لك ديما 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 مهما زرعولي الشوف ثنية مهما الأيام حبت تربية ونرجع لك ديما 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 نسكي زرعك بدموع عينيا مهما خنتيني انت عزيز عليا
That was Dima Dima, sung by Tunisian musician and activist Yasser Gerardi. The song has become the anthem of the Tunisian revolution, the uprising in 2011 that ended in Tunisia, Ben Ali's dictatorship, and led to the Arab Spring. The song was selected by our first guest today, Hamza Abdelrahim of Tunisia's bicycle organization, Velevolution Tunisia. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Before we talk about bicycles and social change, maybe a little bit about your country, Tunisia.
So Tunisia is a country from the North Africa. She had she was the first country starting the Arab Spring, the 17th of December 2011. So it's a new democracy since 10 years, almost 11 years now. We are living in democracy. We had about 60 years of dictatory, starting with the first president after the independence, Mr. Hadi Bourguiba, and then Ben Ali. And now in 11 years, last 11 years, we had about four presidents elected with democracy way and with people vote. So it's a new democracy, and as African country, it's a little bit warm as the weather, and the geometry or geography of the country is about, we don't have too high mountains, or it's plus minus flat country. We are about 12 million people. It's according to last statistic was in 2013.
And the transition to democracy, is that going well?
Yes, in the freedom side, it's okay. Okay, economic side, I think we are following the economic situation of the world, so we are not the best in economy. Maybe going to the worst, but according relating to the freedom of speaking, of writing. We are in high level, so we can explain what we want, where we want, and about who we want.
And we hope that continues.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Hamza Abderrahim, 30 years old, mechanical engineer. Born in Tunisia, the capital of Tunisia. I'm a member of middle social class family. I made all my university and scholar part of my life in Tunisia. And now I'm working as project designer between Tunisia and Germany in international company. So before university, I was using bike for fun or for sport. And during the university, I start using the public too much, the public transport, and I realized that every day I lost about 3 hours in transport from my house to the university, and it was like 22 kilometers, only 22 kilometers. I need 3 hours to reach my university in the two way. So I tried one day to use the bike, and I found that I can do it in 1 hour or 1 hour and a half. And I was really happy that I can win 1 hour or 2 hours in my way, and in the same time using a bike. And since that, it's about 13 years now ago, I'm using bike usually to transport in the city, to move in the city, and to do my, let's say, day movement, actual day movement.
And what is it like to cycle in Tunis? Are there bicycle lanes? How are the drivers?
Yeah, we are laughing because in Tunisia, as you know, we are in poor country, not so we don't have too much resources to invest in infrastructure. So the situation of riding in Tunis, I cannot say that is the worst in the world. And I cannot say it's the best in the poor countries. Yeah, so as there is no good infrastructure, also the security is let's say, a problem in our street. So we take care, we ride, and we're still alive.
And pray before you get on the bike.
yeah, of course.
What is the organization you helped start, and how was it born?
So as I explained in before the revolution, we were in dictatorship, and we were not, let's say, because everybody now hear me, he will say, okay, he woke up in university time. Why he didn't use bike before? In our country before, it was not, let's say, freedom. So we had no, let's say, real view around the world, so we cannot know what's happening around us. So in internet, it was like blocked. What YouTube was closed, Facebook was like censored, and so on. So we were not, let's say, we didn't have overview about the world. So we didn't know that there is kind of other transport way to have. And also, we were all following the propaganda of the government, which showing us the car as the only solution to transport in the city, and is also it's a sign of let's say good, let's say successful story, and everybody in the country was like, if I'm good in my life, I have to get a car and bike and house, that's all. And they didn't have like an idea that they can use bike and steerage, or they are in good, let's say, level in the society. So Bilorussian is born to develop this culture. So to say to the people that, yes, you are using bike, but you are not poor. Using bike is not only for sport or for fun. We are development culture, so we are pushing the people to use bike in them, let's say, quotidian transport. And to explain that it's good for the environment, it's good for the economy, and for the health.
And if I'm not mistaken, Ben Ali's previous dictator son-in-law was the main importer of cars from Germany, so probably there was an extra incentive to get people to buy cars. So how did the group come about? How did the idea come to you?
We were like a few couples of friends which we are using bikes in university. And yeah, we make it like a simple tourism. So we make a round in the country. So we make 500 kilometers, 600 kilometers. It depends of the weather, it depends of the mood and so on. And one day there is a friend which is now co-founder of Vélo'Océan. It's called Stéphanie Poussel. They organized a meeting of cyclists in the city under the name of Tunis by Bike. And in that day, we were about 30 person making a tour in the city. And after that, I sat with Stephanie and I said, we have to make it bigger. There is a lot of cyclists in the city, but they are not regrouped in one. They are not clearly in the city that there is a lot of cyclists. So we decided after that to make Tunis by Bike 2. And we were about, after 1 month, we were about 400 person. But as only dictatory in the country, everything it's security is a problem. So any regroupment of people, it's like a dangerous or something like this. So we were around about 1,000 cops, like we are making new revolution or something like this. And from there, we found that the cyclists want to defend themselves and want to show them right to ride in the city. And then from there, it starts Vélo'Océan as official not benefit organization, which regrouping the cyclists and growing up the number of cyclists in Tunisia.
It seems like what you described with the police response was extreme, and also similar to some of the early critical mass rides in the U.S. How do the authorities regard cycling now? Are they a little bit less happy to use their clubs, or are they a little more accepting?
Yes, with the time, now police accept the movement, because until now we're still fighting the authorities to explain to them that bicycle is not only sport. Bicycle also is transport. Bicycle is also a way to explain opinions, economic and health opinions, and so on. So in Tunis capital, we can say that the cops now understand 100% what does it mean bike and what the organization is doing. But in other regions, we're still fighting to explain to them that this is not only sport, and when we make a critical mass, it's like a manifestation, not sport event. So we need a lot of papers and a lot of bureaucracy behind. No, we're making manifestation. We do it when we want, and we are in total freedom in Tunisia. So still fighting to explain this, but with the time, they will understand what we want to do.
And the members of the group, are they mostly young people, university students, or are they mostly men or also women?
We have all ages. So starting from really kids, 7, 8, which participate to us with us in the critical mass, to also retired people and so on. So we are like a mixture of generations. And this is, I think, the good point for our organization. That meet of a lot of generation in the same place, sharing the IDs together.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the organization's project?
Our strategy it's flow. So we believe that to develop a culture, we have to manifestate with four categories: citizens, authorities, investors, and sponsors. So we made projects dedicated to each category. For example, to convince the authorities, we have to multiply the number of cyclists in the city. And to multiply the number of cyclists in the city, we have to learn people how they ride. Because to be honest, in Tunisia, there is a lot of people don't know how they ride bikes. They drive cars, but they cannot ride. So the first project which Vélo'Océan made is a riding school for adults, so for 18 years old and more. And after 4 years of this school, we have about now 1,000 students which graduated from this school, and they are additional in the street. And it was 85% of the student women. So this is one of projects. The second project, so to, let's say, to push the government to make the street, the bikeways and so lines and so on. So we made our studies in the streets and we presented to the government, municipalities, minister and so on, and show them that making bikes ways in Tunis is feasible, it's possible, and it's better to the future. And we have other project is Dar Bisklet. I cannot stay until tomorrow describing the project because it's about more than 50 projects in parallel, but the most important is the Dar Bisklet, which you are already said, that is a center of development of bikes culture in Tunis. So it's like a local place which people can meet, can share them ideas, and can create projects around the bike and how we can develop the culture of bike in Tunis. We know all the foundation and supporter of social activities in Tunis was dedicated in first step for give employ how we said give more provide more work in the country and reduce the number of employees unemployed people in the country. So we try to orient also this budget to develop the transport and sustainable transport in Tunis, and we convince them also to put money in development of the infrastructure because it's also part in the global problems in Tunisia.
Since you started, have you seen a difference in the attitude of the federal government, the state government, and also local municipalities?
Yes, there is parts which are believing on this, so they see that is one of solution. I would say not all seeing the bike as environment solution. So there is also other parts seeing the bike as economy solution or also as health solution. So we make our lobby before the election and we try to explain to let's say the politics people that the advantage of using bikes and developing the country, the culture in the city or in the country, and we found that there is some political parties which are following this idea and trying now to also implement this in reality. So it's not like we were saying before the recording in Germany, but we are trying to convince them to think about environment and go to reality, because in our constitution there is a law to protect the environment, and one of minimum, let's say, constitution in the world which are mentioning clearly that the government or the authority has to protect the environment. So this is in the constitution, so like the highest law.
And when you write, you said you started writing about 13 years ago, so when you write now in the capital city, do you notice more cyclists? Is it safer to ride?
I would say it's multiplied by 100 or 150.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, before I remember that I can ride complete week and maybe I can see only one rider in the city. In this street or in the city. Now, where you you ride, you found a lot of riders around. Even there is not bike lines in the city. Now there is more and more people using bike, and this is we say that this is a successful point for the organization, which we are able now to show that there is big change in the city.
That is great. And you mentioned that your group has women and men. I'm wondering about women cycling in Tunisia. I know it's one of the most secular countries in the Arab world, but do women cyclists encounter some opposition or is there growing acceptance?
In Tunisia, we don't have this kind of problem because in the city, normally in the capital of a country, normally it's more open-minded people you can find. And in the regions, you can find maybe some conservative people and so on. In Tunisia, it's reversed. The people who's the women who's using more bicycles are in the region, not in the capital. So I think it's only a problem of social level and social thinking, not related to conservative or not. So this is my explanation, but in the end, everyone can explain it in the way he thinks.
What have you learned from your involvement in bicycle activism? How do you think it changed you, your ideas about the world?
What I now my thinking is, before 2017, it was like impossible to make the change. So everybody which you discuss with him about changing, let's say, increasing the number of cyclists and so on in Tunis or in Tunisia, it's nearly impossible, and you can do no change in this country. But after 4 years of activism and working hard, I can say we can make the change. We can change Tunisia or the cities in Tunisia to cycle cities, and this dream can be reality. So
inshallah.
Inshallah, yeah. Yes, and I believe in the future, because only what can change this, only politic decision. If we have this politic decision, I believe that everything will be changed in few years.
And what's next for you personally, and also for the organization? Where do you see the organization and yourself maybe in 10, 15 years?
In 15 years, I start with the organization. We will not keep discussing about bikes, ways, and so on and so on. I would say after 10 years, we have to have this bikes lines, and we discuss second of problems like forbidding the cars in the cities, make a ecologic system of transport, which the bike is a principal actor, and so on. So we'll not more discuss about infrastructure. About me, I would say I will keep doing the same what I do, as pushing and making ideas to develop this sector of transport. And why not in the future also join some ecologic parties and make some changes in the political side.
We've been speaking with Hamza Abdelrahim of Evolution Tunisia. Thank you so much, Hamza, for being on the show, and mostly for your great work for ecological sanity, for justice, and for more cycling. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and sorry for my English, because this is really my first interview in English, and hope that it was everything clear and all of you understand well what I want to say and what I mean.
We understood the language and we understood your heart. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Be well.
Thank you too. Have a nice day.
We have been speaking with Hamza Abdelrahim, co-founder of Tunisia's bicycle organization, Evolution Tunisia. For more information on this dynamic group, you can go to their website at www.velourutiontunisia.com. In the second half of the show, we will return to 2001 and the bike show's birth as we listen to the show's first episode, hosted by Aileen Crotty and Sarah Stout. It will give a flavor of cycling in Portland 20 years ago and an idea how far we have come.
And good morning and welcome to the bike show here on KBOO in Portland. I'm Aileen, a bicycle commuter for about 8 years now.
And I'm Sarah Stout. I've been a bike rider in Portland for about 12 years and like to do bike touring, bike mechanics, and just a major bike enthusiast, and really happy to be here and bring you some bike news and information.
And we're going to be presenting you with a half-hour program here this morning. We'll be here till 10:30 offering you news and views related to bicycle information. This is a pilot program here on KBOO. So if you enjoy the program, we'd like your feedback. You can call the station at 503-231-8032, which is the office line, and give your feedback to the station. And also, we welcome you to email us. And I guess the best email we could use is ayleen@riseup.net. We'll also be giving you a lot of variety of information throughout the morning, and you're welcome to call the KBOO front desk and get that information. Grab your pens, because we do have a lot of great information to give you throughout the morning. And we're going to start off with some news about Portland and bicycling.
First off, a bicycling magazine named Portland the best cycling city in the U.S. overall for any number of people that are in the city. So it's a big thing for us. They named us that based on the great government infrastructure we have for cycling, the advocacy climate, and the general bike culture that we have here. Our government has had the Bicycle Master Plan for 5 years now, and in the last 5 years, our bike lanes have doubled. We have 142 miles of bike plan, of miles of bike path, and Bicycling Magazine really liked our urban growth boundary that really stopped the sprawl and made it a lot easier for people to ride here. Other cities that won, if you're looking to have a vacation and you want to be somewhere where you can ride, Denver, Madison, Wisconsin, Tucson, Arizona. Those are for the smaller cities. Medium cities, Seattle, Austin, and San Francisco. And for the larger ones, Montreal, Chicago, and San Diego. For the U.S., we really have a great place to ride here, but there's a lot of other cities in Europe especially where there really is a lot going on for people and a lot of easy ways to get around, and some of the numbers there of ridership are a lot higher, which we'll get to later in the program.
And adding to some of the exciting bicycling things here in Portland that help contribute to making this one of the best bike cities in the country is the Esplanade. And this is along the east bank of the Willamette River. This is an area that was constructed to be an off-road area to cycle. It will eventually connect with the city's Springwater Corridor Trail and the 40-mile loop. It's currently 1 mile long, but they're working on expanding it, and it has the longest floating walkway in the U.S., which is 1,200 feet. If you want more information on the Esplanade, the history of it, and maps of how to get on and off and ride around the Esplanade, you can call 503-823-PLAY. And there's also a great website at www.portlandparks.org/eastbank/esplanade.htm. And there's some good information on the Esplanade there.
Another great event we have in Portland is the Bridge Pedal, now in its third year. This summer, the Bridge Pedal drew 16,000 riders. So we know there's a lot of bike riders out there. Unfortunately, we still have, in the outer Portland area, there's still only 1% of trips are made by bicycle. In the downtown area, that is a 3%. And just to look at those numbers in Europe, Copenhagen, for instance, is at 50%. That city cut parking in downtown by 25% just so they could encourage people to ride their bikes, and apparently it worked. 50% of trips there. That's something that we could aspire to. In the last 10 years, the trips across the Portland bridges have increased 168%. So we are doing something right, and there is many more bike riders now than there were. Even though we've had an increase in our population, I think that still reflects a great increase. And in the last 10 years to today, now we have over 7,000 trips over those bridges per day. So there are a lot of people riding. And despite the increase, we haven't had any increase in the number of crashes. So between having the bike lanes and other safety features, it seems like we are really having success in making it a safe place to ride.
You're listening to the KBOO Bike Show, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And today, in the second half of the show, we're broadcasting our first show ever in October 2001. The first show was hosted by Sarah Stout and Aileen Crotty. Back to you.
Another great feature that is part of our advocacy climate is the BTA, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. They've been in Portland for 11 years working to make it easier, safer to ride a bike. One of the things they've been doing for the last 4 years is a bicycle safety program that's funded by the Department of Transportation and recently received a grant from the Portland Division. And this is a program that teaches middle schoolers to ride bikes. They're taught in a classroom some of the laws, and it's a 10-hour program, and most of it is actually on the street, part of their PE program, where they're out riding in the street and learning to signal and learning to be safe on the street, learn the rules. And after the program's done, they've recorded a 10% increase in ridership to school, which is really excellent. This is a time when kids are really learning to be independent, and it really feels great for them to ride to school.
Also, other great things that have happened in the Portland area for the cyclists is that on September 20th, the Metro Council gave the final stamp of approval to this year's allocation of federal transportation dollars, and the bike community came out as big winners. Full funding was granted for both the Morrison Bridge retrofit, which was $1.4 million that will put bikes on the Morrison Bridge, and also the Springwater Esplanade connection, which is $3.9 million. By the end of 2004, we'll be able to ride completely unhindered by cars all the way from Boring through Gresham, Outer Southeast, Selwood, to the Willamette River, past Oaks Bottom, and eventually connecting to the East Bank Esplanade. And while portions of this trail may get a bit crowded on occasion, that's about 16 to 18 miles of trouble-free bliss of riding throughout the Portland area.
Another thing the BTA has been doing is the Bike Commute Challenge, which just finished up last month, and the winners were, ridership was up to 94%. The top was Bike Gallery, who had 94% of their trips were made by bicycle. City Bikes and Sakai Creative were close behind in the 85%, approximately that area. Other high scores, People's Food Store, Southeast Portland, 53% of their trips were made by bicycle. These numbers are huge compared to the national average, and just wanted to give a shout out to those people who rode. A very good job.
Way to go.
And thank you to BTA for encouraging people with this challenge. It's a really great way to encourage people to ride. I've heard some excellent stories about people who are encouraged to ride. One woman who worked for a company who did this had really never ridden her bike except for recreation, and her coworkers really encouraged her to ride in order to up their numbers, and she ended up really enjoying it to the point where she went out and got a real nice bike, not to ride her very old clunker that she used to have, and she's set to ride through the winter. She's got rain gear and she's ready to go. So big applause to everybody who participated in that, and think about getting ready to do that next year, September.
As recognizing this city as a great bicycling city, a group of people has decided that this city should host Bike Summer next year. And Bike Summer is an international month of celebration, bringing people together around bicycling events. And in 2002, it will be hosted here in Portland. The planning process is underway, and the Bike Summer Steering Committee is working to promote Bike Summer and encourage individuals and groups to host events. The next meeting is October 30th, which is a Tuesday. It's at 7 p.m. at the City Repair Office, which is 2233 Southeast Tibbetts. And for more information, you can email bikesummer@pdxbikes.org.
Max is now allowing recumbents on the rail lines. This is through the hard work of BTA member Connie McNeil, who wrote a lot of letters, did a lot of awareness for people who ride recumbents to raise their voices, and now recumbent riders are allowed to bring their bikes on Max.
And also, there are a variety of things that go on in the city that are helping to encourage more people to ride their bicycles. Definitely having the BTA out there is helpful, and it can be argued that events like the Bridge Pedal get more people on bicycles. And also, the Community Cycling Center has a program to help low-income folks get on bicycles. It's called the Create a Commuter Program, and it gets low-income adults on fully outfitted commuter bicycles if they don't have any form of transportation themselves. So if you are interested in this program and you are low income, you do need to be referred by an agency to qualify for it, but you can call the Community Cycling Center at 503-288-8864 extension 2. And once again, that is the Create a Commuter Program. It's for low income adults who don't have any, that don't own a car and qualify for federal low income assistance, to get them a fully outfitted Create a Commuter bicycle. And we're now also, we've got a special segment of this program that Will went out and recorded.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Aileen and I, early Monday morning in the rain, went out to the Broadway Bridge and stood out there and flagged down bicycle commuters as they came by. And so we have a 4-minute long collage of their voices. So enjoy, and this will give you a good idea of some of the sentiment. People were offering their observations and inspirational words to encourage people to get out and bicycle commute.
Get into the rain! Woo! It's a lot of fun.
It really puts your day off to a good start.
Great way to relieve stress, eh?
Oh, it's much better than the bus.
All the people sneezing on you.
It's fun. Get a breath of air. It's just a beautiful way to wake up. It's great. I love it.
People, I think, are afraid of the rain, yeah. And there's no reason to be, because you can just put on some rain pants and a raincoat, and you get used to it really fast.
Well, that's a good way to get around if your commute's less than, 7 miles or so.
Saves money. That's the reason I do it. It doesn't cost me any money to get to work.
Even though you may think that it's a rainy, bleak Monday morning when you get on your bike, it may be a little rainy and bleak, but it looks pretty mystical and cool, so it's a good way to start your day.
Save oil, save money, and get exercise.
Do you get fat driving your car?
If you live anywhere in Portland, by the time you start up your car, get downtown, park it, and get out, you could have been there on a bike and saved your monthly workout fee at the gym.
Boy, what can I say? It feels good in the morning.
Yeah, it gives you something to look forward to in the morning, and then something to look forward to at the end of the day. And it takes no time at all. Yeah. I don't know. It's fun.
There's nothing like being able to be under your own power and just be out, feel the wind going through your hair, and just enjoy being out there.
It feels good when you get to work, and it helps alleviate a lot of stress. Plus, gas prices are super high, and there's a lot of cars out there.
Create less pollution. Good exercise, I guess.
It's good for your health, and it puts you at work in a lot better frame of mind, and also home at night.
It's quicker, certainly more exercise, and it gets me where I want to go when I want to go.
It's nice to see the mornings and not in a car, I guess, is what I'd say. Wear your helmet. I've noticed a lot of people aren't wearing helmets anymore.
Good start of the day. It's very refreshing. It offers flexibility that you can get on public transportation or a car.
The first few minutes is a bit cold, but after that, you're fine.
If you live in Portland, you can get to work faster if you ride your bike. It's really good for your butt.
It's a great way to wake up in the morning. Gives you a little time to gather your thoughts and think before you go into actually sit down and do some work. And it's actually a lot of fun, even in the rain. Since I started working downtown, I made the switch and started biking in.
It's not as hard as it seems. Even though it's rainy, you just kind of prepare for the weather, and it's fun. It gets you awake in the morning, and it's still fun.
Even in the winter, it's pretty mild here, so it's not bad.
It saves a lot on parking downtown, and it's a good way to start the morning.
Don't think, just do it, man. I can't go anywhere else now.
I moved here from New York City and have not been off my bike since.
No, it doesn't take a lot. Just gotta start doing it and it's realize how easy it is.
Biking's an excellent way to start the morning. You go to work feeling refreshed. Well, I think bicycling's an excellent form of transportation.
I've lost a bunch of weight and I feel really fabulous. It's really a great way to get to work. I pass cars. They don't pass me. It's a lot less expensive than owning a car. Oh, I love it.
I've been doing it 33 years. This bicycle's bought in 69, has over 50,000 miles on it. I'm in great shape. I'm 75 years old, active 6. It's fun. I get to meditate. I see interesting people because I'm almost on foot. I'm right on the ground. I can stop at any moment like I'm doing right now. You can't stop a car this way. It's great fun, great conditioning, great mental health. I teach at Portland State, too. Great commute. I park by the front door. No cost. I've saved thousands and thousands of dollars doing this over the years.
Oh, my gosh. Your life will be so much better. You just have a much better quality of life. Like, I don't even do it for environmental reasons anymore. Like, I tried to do that in the early 90s. Now I totally just do it for myself. And it's even great out in the rain. It's going to wake you up in the morning, make you feel good all day. Save the bikers.
You're listening to the KBOO Bike Show, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And today, in the second half of the show, we're broadcasting our first show ever, in October 2001. The first show was hosted by Sarah Stout and Aileen Crotty.
It is incredible, the overwhelming number of people who were so positive when Will and I were out there on the bridge, especially encouraging people to get out there even when it's raining. So as the rains begin to trickle down here, I want to send my personal encouragement out to all of you who are listening to feel empowered to get on your bikes anyway despite the rain.
There's a lot of equipment that makes it easier. There's a lot of rain gear things you can get. But the voices of those people really inspired even myself, who's already very enthused, and that was really a great thing to hear.
Also, coming up on the last Friday of every month here in Portland, we host a Critical Mass ride.
And this year will be the 8th anniversary of Critical Mass. Actually, that would have been September of 93. We started Critical Mass in Portland. It's been happening since 92 in San Francisco and now is in hundreds of cities around the world. It's a bike ride, a lot of different things to each different person who shows up, but mostly just a bike ride, lots of cyclists together, taking the streets, riding, using our right to be in the street. And this one coming up here is the Halloween ride, which is traditionally a huge amount of fun, very great experience to be out with people in all kinds of crazy costumes, and I want to encourage people to get out and join us. The ride starts at 5:30, or you meet at 5:30 under the Burnside Bridge in Waterfront Park and leave around 6 o'clock. It probably will be getting dark, and the law requires us to have front light that's visible for 500 feet. They do not really like the blinking lights. They tend to be blue or green. So if you want to be super street legal, you'll want to have a beam headlight. And that is a law in general. It's a good idea this time of year. It's dark earlier. We really need to use those lights to be safe and comply with the law. You also need to have a red reflector or light that's visible for 600 feet from the rear. At Critical Mass rides, there do tend to be a police presence, and this is the most elementary of the laws that they're concerned with. It's also good to inform yourself about the laws in general. The bicycle manual is available at DMVs, or you can call 503-986-3555 to receive that manual with the full bicycle laws. But the climate at the Critical Mass ride, you might want to know your laws because you might get a ticket, the cops might be there, but mostly we are dealing with just riding our bikes and having a great time, and that's what it's all about.
And once again, we meet, or Critical Mass Riders meet at 5:30 under the west side of the Burnside Bridge. And once again, this is the bike show here on KBOO Portland. I'm Aileen and Sara in the studios this morning with you. This is a pilot program, and we'd love to know what you think of the show. You can call us up at 503-231-8032 and give your feedback to the front desk. Also, get your pens and pencils ready because Sara and I are about to give you some more information on some great upcoming events here in the Portland area for bicyclists and not yet bicyclists alike.
The City of Portland has a bicycle advisory committee. This is open to all cyclists or interested people to help advise the government about what's needed for cyclists. That meeting is the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. in City Hall.
Also on November 1st, which is a Saturday, is the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and they advise ODOT on issues relating to bicycling and walking. The public is welcome at the entire meeting, and the public comment period is at 1 p.m. That's again, that's on November 1st. The meeting begins at 9 a.m. at Old City Hall, which is in Jacksonville. And for more information, you can call Karen Frost at the BTA 226-0676 or email her at karen@btanumber4bikes.org.
The BTA is also soliciting nominations for the Alice V. Toklips Award. This is an award for an individual in the community who's doing something special to promote cycling. So if you know somebody who's doing something extra special this year that deserves some recognition, you could also call the BTA at 503-226-0676 and submit your nomination.
Coming up on November 18th, which is a Sunday, you can start thinking ahead towards the annual Cyclists Swap Meet. That's a mouthful right there. You can sell your old stuff that you don't need, bike stuff, and someone else can buy it for cheap. It's from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., and it's at the Friendly House, which is 2637 Northwest Thurman in Portland. There is an admission fee, and it's presented by the Portland United Mountain Peddlers. They're also known as PUMP. For information and table reservations, you can call David at 503-317-8682, or you can email pumpswap2001@cs.com.
There's also some bicycle maintenance classes and clinics in the Portland area. If you're looking to learn how to fix your bike, the winter is often a good time. There's a little less going on at the bike shops, and people there are waiting and happy to teach you. One of the classes happens at the Community Cycling Center. They have a health clinic safety check for a sliding scale of $8 to $20. And there, you could call the Community Cycling Center at 503-288-8864. The Bicycle Repair Collective also has offered classes. Their number is 503-233-0564. Selwood Cycle is also offering classes. There's also classes through Portland Community College, Bike Gallery Eastside, River City Bicycle offers some classes, and City Bikes.
And other upcoming events is that this program, we hope to have this going on the fourth Wednesday of next month, if all goes well for this program. So we encourage you to tune in again to this program. This has been the bicycle show, the bike show here on KBOO Portland. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in this morning. And you can offer your feedback at 231-8032. You can also email aylen@riseup.net. And as we've been talking throughout the show about Portland being the best, nominated as the best bike city in the U.S., to me, that is some great encouragement that we still have a lot of issues to work on, but if we're already being nominated as the best bike city, we've got a really good head start to work further towards safer streets and getting more people out there riding. So we hope to encourage all of you to get out there despite the rain, get out there and fall in love with the rain and fall in love with bicycling in the city and to help work towards a safer bike city in the Portland area.
And I don't think I could add too much to that. I encourage people, if you're listening from your car, think about riding next time. You can get radios for your bicycle and listen while you pedal.
It's a great experience.
And we'd like to send some thank yous out to Phil Goff for information on Metro funding for this program. Also, Karen Frost and Brita Johnson from the BTA. They were extremely helpful in the planning of this program, as well as Will Levin. Thank you, Will, as the engineer of this program and also assisting in the planning of the show. And we want to thank all of you KBOO listeners who supported us during the fall pledge drive, which makes programs like this possible here on KBOO. Once again, thanks for tuning in to KBOO 90.7 here in Portland. This has been The Bike Show. Thanks.
We just heard The Bike Show's first episode, broadcast on October 2001. It was co-hosted by Aileen Crotty and Sarah Stout, who are still very much involved in Portland's vibrant bicycle scene as mechanics, teachers, organizers of such wonderful projects as Film by Bike, the annual Bicycle Film Festival, and much more. Thank you, Aileen and Sarah, for your good work over the years and for starting the KBOO Bike Show going strong for 21 years. It was also good to hear the progress, the great progress that Portland has made as far as cycling over the years. Some of the individuals and organizations mentioned in this first podcast of 21 years ago are still here, still doing fantastic work. And it's good also to see how Portland cycling has changed. As someone who rode 21 years ago in Portland, I can attest to the fact that there are many, many, many more cyclists, that many, many more bicycle lanes, signs, infrastructure, but there is still much more to do. You have been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon on 90.7 FM and streaming live on kbo.fm. All our shows are archived at www.bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. My name is Alon Robb. Co-host Nedra Deadweiler will return next month. We are always open to suggestions for topics you would like to see us cover. Please feel free to contact me at alonkrobb@gmail.com. That is alonkrobb@gmail.com. We're also looking for another person to join our team. So if you are interested in learning what is involved in being a co-host, please contact me at alonkrobb@gmail.com. As we will record from home, there is no need for you to live in Portland. Hoping to hear from you. Thank you to all our listeners for joining us today. Safe journeys and all the best in the new year. Health and joy, peace and justice. We will end with Johnny Cash and Joe Strummer singing Redemption Song.
Old pirates, yes they rob I, sold I to the merchant ship. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. So won't you help
freedom, cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs. Old pirates, yes they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom, cause all I ever had, redemption songs, all I ever had, redemption songs, these songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy miércoles 5 de enero del 2022. Más del 90% de la población ha sido vacunada con al menos una dosis de las vacunas de producción propia de Cuba, mientras que el 83% ha sido completamente inoculado. De los países con poblaciones de más de un millón, solo los Emiratos Árabes Unidos tienen un historial de vacunación más sólido. Cuba es una víctima del realismo mágico, dijo John Kier, profesor emérito de estudios latinoamericanos de la Universidad de Dalhousie.